Good morning, everybody. I was glad to hear Pastor say something about prayer. May be interesting for you to note that for the last few days, there have been six-hour prayer meetings in the White House, nonstop worship and prayer. And I believe that God is calling the church back to its origin, and that is, we want to substitute the hard route. And the hard route is prayer. More is done through prayer than by any other thing that we will ever do. Prayer puts us in a position to where the Holy Spirit can speak to us, and when we obey Him, supernatural things happen. A prayerless church will never see signs and wonders. Thank you for those weak amens. I can tell you that for a surety. I just want to briefly, I'm going to mention this one time. I don't like commercials, but it's not for me. I just want to tell you that everything out there on that table or any offerings that you give to us is going to missions, particularly right now, Rwanda. Next Sunday morning, I'm leaving on a 30-hour flight to Rwanda. We have built three churches there last year, and we're going to be doing ministry there. God has given me four books. I want to briefly tell you about them. The first one is Out of the Snare. It is for believers that deal with oppression. I heard our worship leader say, you may have fear, you may have anxiety. This helps you to understand, if it persists, what it is. And it is a very hopeful book. These books have been translated into four different languages, Romanian, Italian, French, and English. Boy. Don't have enough hands. He gave me a sequel to it called Pain Free. It's one thing to tell people to get over it. Let me tell you something. If you got emotional pain, the deeper the wound, the longer it takes to get over it. And too many Christians take a cheap route and say, well, you just need to suck it up and get over it. No, that's not the way it works. Because there are many people that have been traumatized in their childhood, some of them even in their adult life. And this is a systematic, biblical way of being healed of oppression. This is my heart. It's Father Me. The state of Arkansas used it for a resource book for Arkansas Better Dads. If you have have had problems with a father, if you've been a bad father, if you don't know how to be a father because you didn't have one, if you're under the age of 40 years old, the majority of you were raised without your biological father being in the house. And because of that, many people are struggling for their identity and are frustrated with life because your father is the only person in the world that can give you your identity. He tells you who you are, he tells you who you're not, whether he speaks or not. So this is a healing book, and the first three chapters are worth the entire book. If you have kids at home getting ready to leave, the last chapter will be very helpful to you in a time of releasing your kids. This book is in all the airports, major bookstores in the United States. This is the last book that God gave me, called The Bulletproof Leader. It's not about being a better leader. It's about being a better person as a leader. And if you ever watch the original Superman, he could leap over buildings, bullets bounce off of his chest. He could do anything. But I noticed something about him. He got into a fight, and when somebody swung at him, he ducked. Well, if you're the Man of Steel, let them break their fist. What dawned on me was this. He was playing a role. He was not Superman. He was acting like Superman. And I hate to inform you of this, but this man deals with the same issues in his house that you deal with in yours. You got kids? You got kids? We got a common ground. These aren't superhuman people. They're just like you. They come off the pew where you are. God called them off the pew. And we have weaknesses that we don't want you to know about. And God has promised us that in our weakness we could be made strong. And so that book is all about discovering how God can take our weaknesses and make them work for us and make us better people as believers. Now, I want to mention two other things. Recently, I held a conference. I do this each year that's called Elevate. This year was on the prophetic, and I did four messages dealing with end time subjects. Called End Time Living, End Time Kingdom Priorities, End Time Mindset, End Time Pre-Tribulation Rapture, End Time Living in the Day. And you'll relate to those, and those are back there on the table. And these are our USBs. You can plug them in your car, your TV. And then this one is probably one of the best series I've ever done as it relates to relationships. It's called The Power of Words. Words create. Words connect us with God. Words can heal. Words continue in effect. Words confuse or clarify. Words speak blessing or cursing. So I would recommend that you get those. And if you're going to bless anybody, why not bless yourself? I noticed when you came in, man, I was tempted with some fried pies. They put something in them crazy things that are addictive. I had to go back and get some more. And it was just there meeting me when I got the door. I told the wife, I said, I think I remember them having coffee and some cookies or something at the door. I said, I hope they have those this year. And hey, man, they had a whole party out there waiting on us to get here. So invest in yourself is what I'm trying to say. Something that has eternal value to you. Now, what I'm looking for is, let me put this up here. Reading through the Bible, and I see this name. And the Holy Spirit said, put that on a shirt. So I did. So who in the world is Abijah? Abijah in the Old Testament was a Jewish king of Judah. In the New Testament, he is the head priest over the division of Zechariah when the angel appeared and said, you're going to give birth to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And this is what his name means. God is my father. So I'd encourage you, if you've got a teenager or a child or for yourself, buy one for everybody in the family, because you'll be amazed at the number of people when they come walking toward them and they see that Abijah. They don't get to the back and they say, what does that mean? Can't tell you the number of times when I wear my shirt, somebody stops me and says, who is this? Is this a rock group? So, I'm big on the fatherhood of God. I hope as many times as I've been here that you understand that is central theme in my life. It comes out in everything I say. But what I'm looking for right now is that somebody wears a 3X. Where's me? You got to wear that tonight. Young people, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to be here every service. And the reason is because you're the most important group in here. I say that because when you look at people like me, it's not about us anymore. It's about you. If we don't make a deposit in you that will change your life, make you fearless, make you self-confident, let you know that you can do anything in Jesus' name, that when you please him, he will make you the head, not the tail. Every dime that this church has done building buildings and so forth is not about us. It's about establishing a place where roots can go down and not just a church be formulated, but a community culture be changed. Because this is a lighthouse. Until you get ready, because even though a lot of people are talking about Donald Trump, I'm still talking about Jesus and the kingdom that's coming. And my hope is not in Donald. I love him. I support him. I believe in everything that the man is doing so far. But I just want to tell you that God has given the church a reprieve. We were this close to losing our nation. That close to becoming a Marxist communist nation without rights together. We found that out during COVID, how we were manipulated. And God has given the church another 4 years. I just believe that we're getting ready to witness one of the greatest revivals that we've ever seen in our life. And it's not going to happen without prayer. And God's going to let people know the house of prayer, because that's where the fire is going to be coming from. It may be the Methodist, it may be the Baptist, it may be two old women in a house that's been praying for years for revival. But God's going to mark the house of prayer with his presence and with his fire. Woo! Felt that, Pastor. Because prayer is an act of humility, and prayer is saying, I can't do this without you. I can't do it by myself. And so when the church begins to rely on God, suddenly we step out of the natural into the supernatural. And I'm here to tell you that God can do more in one day. Whoever would have believed that within a 24-hour period, we would have a president hold the Bible up in front of a TV camera and say, this is the Bible. Every family in America needs one of these. We are a nation that is under God, and his name is Jesus. The only president I ever heard in my life speak the name Jesus in a 24-hour period. Suddenly the light switch. And it seems like that he is a spiritual Cyrus that God is using to bring freedoms and morality back. And thank God he knows the difference between a man and a woman and is emphasizing it. Well, come on, y'all, smile. You preach with me and we'll do good. If I have to preach to you, it's going to be dry. I want to talk to you this morning. Pastor said, we want to see signs and wonders. I don't want to see signs and wonders. I want to be a sign and wonder. I want to tell you something. You don't seek signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow the believer. If you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you need to be looking around behind you, because somewhere you're influencing somebody's life for God that you don't even know about. And when you pray, it's just as good as if the Pope prayed it or if the pastor prayed it. The Pope won't rate very high, by the way. I want to talk to you this morning about miracles demand a response. Miracles demand a response. Miracles are waiting to happen. We keep saying, well, we want God to move. When God's saying, no, I want you to move. We come to church saying, God bless me, God give me. And God's saying, when are you going to do what I want you to do? I'm tired of me, 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 church. It's time for you, 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 church. Some guy wrote a country song about that. You might as well smile. I know you heard it. There's four things that a miracle will do. Number one is, miracles will invade your privacy. Miracles will invade your privacy. When you get desperate enough for a miracle, you don't care who sees, who knows, or anything else. The only thing you're wanting is a result to your prayer. Something that is invisible appearing because that you have had faith. And there is a woman in the scripture that says that she had an issue of blood and had spent all that she had on doctors and was nothing better. I've seen those people in every church that I go to. They diagnose them without diagnosis. I don't know what's wrong with you. Here's some pills. We'll do some screening. We'll do some testing. This woman had spent all on doctors and physicians, and she had heard about Jesus, and she violated all the law. She was supposed to go around saying, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Everybody in the house of God, stay away from me. I'm impure. I can't get near you. I can't worship with you. But she was so desperate that she got down on her hands and knees and crawled through the feet of tangled men, leaving blood deposits as she went, saying within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, if I can but touch. It's a wonder that there wasn't an outcry. But something happened when this woman got past her private issue and she got in the crowd because she was so desperate. She didn't care what people thought or what people said about her. The thing that she had to have was, I'm dying. If somebody don't touch me, I'm dying. And instead of being touched, she touched the one that had life in him, and he said, I felt virtue come out of me. I'm here to tell you that when a miracle takes place, it will invade your privacy. A woman comes to Jesus and she's got a troubled daughter. She's possessed. She's not a woman that is a Jew. She said, Lord, would you heal my daughter? He said, I've not been sent to your bunch. I've been sent to the Jews. She comes back. Please help my daughter. I don't belong to you. You're a dog. That's what the scripture says that he called her. But she said, Lord, even the dogs are worthy of the crumbs that fall beneath the table. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't deserve crumbs. You deserve the children's bread. That's what Jesus called it. And when you get to a place this morning that you can recognize that the circumstance, you don't necessarily need a healing, you need a deliverance that's in your house. It may be a generational sin or torment or spirit that has a legal right to keep coming after you and coming after your kids and after your family. And it's time to start getting desperate before God and saying, God, I've gone everywhere I know to go. I'm not going to hide this thing anymore. I got problems in my house. I want you to invade the privacy of my home. And Jesus said, I've not seen such faith, no, not in Israel. Woman, go home. Your child is delivered. And the Bible said that when she got home, her daughter was free from that spirit. We're living in a generation where young people are tormented. They're tormented in their dreams. They're tormented with fear because of the uncertainty of what they go on in the it's going on in the world. We are living in a culture where there is where trust is a precious commodity. It is so rare. And it's time for moms and dads to realize that you just might have a suicidal teenager on your hand. It's time to realize that you may have a daughter that's very close to getting pregnant because there's some kind of emotional need that's she's not getting at home. Thank you for that, amen. I'm looking for some fighters in this house. Is your family worth fighting for? Are you desperate enough to say, God, I'm not going to sit on this anymore. I've got to let somebody know. I've got to have a power of agreement. I've got to have a miracle from God. This can't remain a secret anymore. A miracle will invade your privacy. Even the preacher, Simon Peter, after Jesus has turned the water into wine, Scripture says, did he go to Simon Peter's house because his mother-in-law was sick with a fever? Sickness was in the house. And when Jesus got inside the house, he invaded the privacy of that home. Scripture says that he walked in and rebuked the fever, took her by her hand and raised her up on her feet, and immediately she was healed and began to serve the rest of the house. You want to know why some people in the church are not serving? You want to know why some people aren't active that used to be active? Something happened to them and they got sick in their spirit. They once was on fire, but now they're cold. And now it's time for that which is private to be allowed by Jesus Christ to walk in the most private room of your house, which is your bedroom, and to allow him to begin to stir what used to be on the inside of you. You used to serve, you used to love, you used to give, but something happened that knocked you out of the creek and you got sick in your spirit. I say, God, let the power of the Holy Ghost flow from the front of this church to the back, liberating people that have been bound by past hurt. A miracle will invade your privacy. Number two, miracles are available to give you back your dignity. I'm going to get very personal here. I'm tired of the church talking about things that are so shallow. They're so far away from the reality of the lives that we're living. Man is away from his family. He's a cutter. He's a screamer. He's naked. He's insane. He's tormented by thousands of demons. Jesus renounces the storm because he's the one that created nature. The devil did not want him coming to where Legion was. But somewhere there was a wife that was praying for a husband. And there was a child that was praying for a daddy. My dad's so crazy. My dad's so out there. I'm ashamed to call him my dad. Everybody knows him as the lunatic. Everybody knows him as that unreasonable, violent man that breaks chains. But I'm here to tell you there was a divine appointment in which the ship is docked, and the spirit on the inside of that man says, Jesus is here. Maybe Jesus can help me. And in that moment, he runs to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus begins to rebuke the demons out of him into the swine that are nearby. You know the rest of the story. When Jesus got through with him, he was clothed, seated, and in his right mind, and he said, I want to go with you. He said, no, you're going to go home and tell everybody what I've done for you. And history says that he told all 10 cities around him of the miracle that had taken place in his life. Oh, a miracle is available to give you back your dignity. You may be here and you've messed it up so bad, you've ruined the family name. But I'm here to tell you, you're in the place to put polish on it. You're in a place to bury it, and it has already been buried if you found Jesus. You're in a place to get your dignity back. There is this woman. In fact, she was one of the sponsors of Jesus' ministry. She was one of three or four women that periodically invested money in the ministry of Jesus. She was the first one that Jesus appeared to when he came from the grave. You know her by the name of Mary Magdalene. Her reputation was not sterile. She was known as a woman of sin. But isn't it amazing what God does to people in your community when they come into this church? And pastor said, we had 46 people saved last year. That means that something big happened in this community, and that is dignity has been restored. That means people whose lives that the devil could make fun of with legal right has got to shut his mouth because they are no longer the person of the past. They are the person of the future and of the present that's going to stand before God and be pronounced clean and holy. What I'm telling you is a miracle will give you your dignity back. I can tell you right now who loves Jesus in this room more than anybody else. You want me to tell you their name? It's the one that's been forgiven the most. And that was Mary Magdalene. What was your family like before they found Jesus? What were they known for? The Dorsey name was known for violence, anger, moonshiners, sexual abusers. My dad's sitting in a car, and a man comes and yanks him out of the backseat of the car, gets his daughter and says, you can't be seen with this kid anymore. He's a Dorsey. Don't you ever let me see you with him or anybody that has that name as long as I live. That's the name that followed my dad until he was 28 years old. But at the age of 28 years old, he broke a generational curse off our family. And now, 5 generations later, we're Pentecostal, preaching the gospel on the worship team, influencing other people for the kingdom of God. I'm here to tell you that when a miracle takes place, God will give you your dignity back. You're to be celebrated. Quit walking in here like you're a nobody. You own this place. Number 3, miracles will take you to a place that you're forced to talk about your need. A lot of people do not have a miracle because they're too proud to let anybody know they have a need. Jesus is at a wedding feast. The party's high. You know the story. They run out of wine. And Mary comes to Jesus and said, Lord, it's time for you to do something. He said, it's not my time. Thank God sometimes spiritual mamas know better than we do. And her mama pushed him right out in the middle of the situation. She said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Well, is he going to sass his mama? He can't, because that would sin. And he can't sin. So he had to do something about it. Go get some water in those barrels. And they put water in the barrels, and the water was turned into wine, and they said it was better than the former. I just want to tell you that when the need was revealed to Jesus Christ, he's not just the God of enough. He's the God of more than enough. I want you to understand this morning, you're not in the house of poverty. You were in the house as the heir of Jesus Christ. You are a child of God, and God is known by the way that he takes care of his kids. Don't be afraid to let your need be known. There are some miracles that are so private, we can't let everybody know what it is. One such case was a prophet's wife who was one of the people who followed Elisha. One of the sons of the prophets dies being in debt. And he's got some sons, and this widow says, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bill. Has anybody ever been in that place? Raise your hand. I didn't know how I was going to pay the bill. We're in good company. She comes to the man of God, and she said, they're coming to take my sons and make slaves out of them. and I'm in debt, and I can't pay it. What am I going to do? The man of God said, what have you got in the house? She said, we got just a little bit of oil. She said, all right. He said, go and get all the neighbors' empty vessels and shut the door. That means that everything that's going to happen from now on is inside the house, and nobody else is going to know it. It's a private miracle. But everybody in the house knew the need. The sons was at a desperate place of saying, if God don't do something, we're going to be a slave. Mom is saying, I have nowhere to go. If I lose my home, I have no heirs that I can live with. And they began to pour the oil. And they began to pour the oil until the Bible said there was so much oil that whenever they ran out of vessels, that the man of God said, now take the oil and sell it, pay your debt, and live off of the rest. Now, what I'm about to say may be controversial to some of you, but that's okay. I believe in a prosperity God. I believe it's His will to bless these kids. He told me in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I want to tell you that He wants to take you past want, and He wants to take you past need. He wants to take you to a place that He can bless you so that you can be a blessing to other people. I want to open your eyes to how God wants to bless you. Let's say that my son wants to have a new pair of shoes. So, being the wise guy that I am, I take him to Walmart. And he's looking at the shoes, and I say, son, do you like those? Well, yeah. Well, son, what kind do you like? Well, anything will do. And I say, well, you must not like these. Let's go over here to Habits. So we'll go in there, and they got Converse. They got Nike. They got Under Armour. I say, son, which one of these do you like? He picks them up. Boy, I like that one, Dad. I like that one, Dad. They got this pair of Air Jordans down here. Anybody know Air Jordan? Grab your wallet. Son, what do you want? He said, Dad, I really do like those Airs, but he said, I know they're too expensive. I say, son, pick them up. Are you sure, Dad? I said, pick them up. Why are you doing this? I'll tell you why. Because you're a straight-A student. You've always pleased me with everything you've done. You've been faithful to God. I'm not ashamed to call you my son. And if that's what your heart's desire is, you wrap them up. I'm going to get them because you're my son. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more does the Heavenly Father desire to give good things to those that ask Him? Get that mentality out of your mind that God just wants you to just barely make it. Yeah. Miracles take place not in the natural, but in the supernatural. Matthew 17:20 says, He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, that if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I don't think people are convinced of that. Nothing shall be impossible for you. I can tell by looking at some of your eyes, you have no expectation for the supernatural whatsoever. I can see it on you. You don't care whether the mountain moves or not. You're not qualifying yourself for a miracle because you're not putting God's name out in stake in front of you. I had a friend of mine that was pastoring a church, and he read that verse, and he believed it. And he had a church that was sitting on the side of a hill. He needed additional parking, and he didn't have enough place for a parking lot, and there was a mountain literally joined right next to the side of the church. And for 30 days, every day, he climbed the steeple on the top of his church. And he hung onto that steeple, and he rebuked that mountain. Mountain, we need this space for parking. Be thou removed. 30 days fast. 30th day, he crawled down and went on about his business. Day 31, a man knocks on his door and said, "Reverend, your church owns this mountain next to your church." And he said, "We have found that there's some special ore under the ground. And if you will allow us, we will remove that mountain and we'll give the church money for a proportionate to the ore that we dig." And he said, "One condition, you build me a parking lot as well." The church ended up with money. They got an asphalt parking lot. And when you drive by that church, there ain't no mountain there no more. We laugh at that, but the devil gets in your face. And he mocks you because you are trying to exercise faith against an uncertain situation. You may have a son that's got a retarded mind. You may have somebody that has been born crippled. You may have somebody that's got some overwhelming financial need. You may have somebody in your family that's getting ready to divorce. I'm here to tell you that God is a God of miracles. And ye have the power and the favor of God to speak to your mountain. Why? Because God is a God of the impossible, and what happens is not up to me. What happens is up to Him. It's His name that's at stake. I don't know how long I've been preaching. I don't see a clock, but I feel like I need to quit. So much more that I want to say. I have purposed that I will not wait for death. I'm going to leave this world burning, challenging God, because this generation has got to see it. Talking about the old days doesn't do anything. But when I'm in the presence of an almighty God and he shakes people that I know in a supernatural manner, then I know there's something to the power of God. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to come forward if you need a miracle from God. And these people are going to pray and agree with you. And if you're desperate enough and open enough, God's going to heal whatever it is that's wrong with you. Whether it's your spirit or your soul, or your body, it makes no difference. All of my life, I've asked God for one miracle. I said, "God, I want to pray for a person that's never had a mind and see their eyes clear up and see you touch them." A few weeks ago, we were going to Scottsville, Arkansas on a Saturday. They was having church Saturday night. Who in the world has church on Saturday night? And on Sunday morning. Thank you for that. I love that music. And on the way up there, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "You're going to pray for a baby that has a severe brain issue." Saturday night, I ask, is anybody here have a baby that has a severe brain issue? God said that we're supposed to pray for him. Nobody stood, but there was an elderly couple in the back that stood and said, we have a grandson. And said he has a severe brain issue. He has to wear a helmet. He's on oxygen. He has to have a tube in his stomach. He can't swallow. He has never moved his arms or legs. That night, on Saturday night, I said, well, we'll pray for that baby in the morning. It gives us time to get focused on praying for that baby. So that night, we preached and the altars were full and there was a line all across the front of the building, and I normally always start on an end, but there was about three or four people standing here, and I didn't start there. I started right here. And I got down about halfway to the end of the line, and something uncommon happened. Suddenly there was an eruption. God was healing just about everybody we was praying for, and people that had not been free to move because of their joints, crippling arthritis and that kind of thing, started jumping up and down and squatting and bending on the floor and shouting. And when that happened, it was like just heaven. Heaven came down. And spontaneously, all throughout the auditorium, there was about 15 people that instantly got healed. Nobody prayed for them. Nobody said anything. They were just healed. Funny story. There's a young man standing on the end that I didn't pray for. He's a farmer, young farmer. And he'd worked a lot of hours in the last 2 weeks. And it's Saturday night, and he's sitting in his chair, and he said, some like you that may not be back tonight, said, well, I'm so tired. I've worked so hard. I don't think I'm going to go to church tonight. God understands. I'm just wore out. And then he said, as sure as I don't go, something's going to happen that I wish I would have been there. And then he said this funny thing. And he said, the picture of the old dude that's preaching looks like it might be his last sermon anyway. And he's the one I didn't pray for. And while we're standing there and the power of God is just hovering over the house, suddenly that dude starts running around the building, hollering. Three or four laps. Pastor told me this story after church and said while he was standing there, the Holy Ghost hit him. And he had had an issue for several years with one of his knees. And he said suddenly he felt something pop in that knee. And he started running. God healed him. So our faith was high to believe Sunday morning. And when the worship started Sunday morning, it was just so thick. It was like you could just reach out and just pinch God. I looked over to Pastor and I said, Pastor, now's the time to pray for that baby. So the parents were there and they brought the baby forward and they placed that baby in my hands. And there was absolutely no fear in me whatsoever about what if God don't. You're never going to get anything from God if that's in your head. There was a need. They laid that baby in my hands and I looked at his eyes. And it's like someone that looks at you that's dead, that don't see you. And we just started praying a simple prayer. Lord, touch this baby. He can't even pray for himself. Lord, he's relying on us to believe. Holy Spirit of God, enter this baby. And suddenly that baby got just as stiff as this altar bench. His parents started weeping. And they said, he has never done that. We've never seen him do that. And I said, well, let's believe that God is going to complete what he started. About 4 days later, they sent me a picture of this baby. The helmet was gone. The oxygen was gone. The feeding tube was gone. And hands and feet that had never moved were moving like he was riding a bicycle. And it has touched the core of that church because they understood one thing. This did not come from the hand of a man. This came because somebody believes that God can do anything. And I refuse to disqualify myself from the impossible. I'm telling you about a God that's not a God of yesterday. I'm telling you about a God that cares for you more than you can imagine. And he has blessed people in your body of believers with a measure of faith that is enough to believe what you need from God to happen. Right now, without hesitation, if you need God to give you a miracle, I want you to come right now. It doesn't just have to be physical. It can be an area of relationship, financial, or whatever. We're going to believe God. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand, will you? Ladies, can we get you to come here toward the center, if you would, please? Lady, I've been wanting to pray for you the whole time I was preaching. God put you in my focus. If you've got a family member or a loved one or somebody that you believe, your faith will agree with us. Would you come and stand behind them? Lady, I want to tell you something. You're caring enough to walk up here to meet the need of somebody else besides yourself. Has got the attention of God because he moves through a spirit of compassion. Faith operates through love. The Bible said that when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And it was his compassion that caused him to break the fishes and the loaves. We have people that nobody stands behind them. I'm not going to pray until somebody cares enough to come and agree with us in faith. Come on. This is your body. These are your people. Thank you, young people. Thank you, young people. You're the very people that God wants to use. This is not some kind of spiritual, calisthenic This is not just, well, this is what we do. What we're doing is bringing desperate needs before God, who says, I will hear the cry of the desperate. Come on up here, brother. You need to be right in the middle of all of this. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor, you and Chelsea go with me every time that we pray for somebody. Raise your hands, ma'am.